This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill
from the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hidden Killers podcast.
We're up to segment number two in our continuous coverage in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill. Let's head to the courtroom.
Your Honor, may I aid an objection to her reviewing these notes? May I voir dire an aid of an objection?
You may.
Ms. Ballard, it looks like there's about 15 pages of text writings that have some footnotes in there. Is that my understanding?
Yes.
And it looks like it's a day by day, play by play type of encounters with Mr. Daybill. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Is this something you do in the normal course of your business, or was this something that was asked of you by law enforcement?
I was subpoenaed to provide that information.
Okay, and you provided that information to law enforcement?
Yes.
Okay. If I could have just a second, Judge, to confer with counsel.
Yes.
Judge, can we just have a quick sidebar?
Yes. All right, there's been a request to have the records used to refresh the witness's memory. They've been reviewed by counsel. I don't know, were they supplied to the witness at this point?
Not yet, Your Honor.
Okay, they can be at this time.
And so, Taylor, just to refresh your memory, we were discussing, my question was when you heard from Chad again after the November 21st conversation.
Yes, he reached out to me
Let me stop you.
I'm sorry.
So you're going to be allowed to look at your notes to refresh your recollection, and then you'll have to close them and testify. It's just to refresh your memory.
Okay. He reached out to me on December 10th, and by phone call, and I responded to him on the 11th.
Okay. And I want to just clarify a couple things about the notes and what you provided to law enforcement, if I can. You, as an insurance agent, have a file on your clients. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm.
Did you provide the insurance file or the insurance information to law enforcement?
Everything that I had on Mr. Daybill, I gave to.
Okay. Did you make personal notes for your own memory and to be able to recall your interactions with him?
No.
No? Okay.
Your Honor, at this point, I'm going to make an objection that there is a discovery violation. This witness has turned things over to the state that we've not been in possession of.
Sidebar, Your Honor.
Go ahead and finish your
objection. We cannot adequately cross-examine her without the information that has been provided to the state. So I would object to her being called as a witness, and I would ask that she be excused.
Well, I'm not going to go that far with the objection at this point. There's been a review of the file made by defense counsel. I guess it's raised an issue which we may or may not need to take up outside of the presence of the jury. Let's have a quick sidebar on that issue, counsel. Thank you. At this point, there's been an issue raised as it relates to the file and whether or not it's discoverable evidence in the case. It's been argued to some extent by the defense. The court's going to make an in-camera review of the file to determine whether or not we need to proceed any further with that issue. In order to do that, we'll take the mid-morning break at this time, and we will reconvene at about quarter till the hour and continue with the direct examination.
All right, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please be seated. Okay, we're back on the record on CR 2221-1624, State of Idaho versus Lori Noreen Vallow. We had an issue come up with an objection as it related to the file notes of this witness. There was a question, I think, of whether or not discovery had been produced, and as I understand at this point, the parties have resolved that issue. Is that correct, Ms. Rawlings?
That's correct. We were able to provide the Bates number to the defense for where this information was provided.
Okay. And so that takes care of the objection then, Mr. Thomas?
Yes, Your Honor. It looks like it may have been provided to prior attorneys prior to Jim and I coming on, but we don't remember seeing it, but we know that it was Bates stamped, and we did. It is in our discovery.
Okay. With that in mind, then, I'll just indicate, because of the nature of the objection made in the presence of the jury, I'm going to provide a curative instruction for the jurors once they come in and remind them that the evidence is to only be considered and that arguments on admissibility of exhibits are not to be considered. So we'll take care of that once the jurors are returned to the courtroom.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge.
All right. So, and does the, you have the file back. Okay. Let's go ahead and have the jurors return then, please, Mr. Bailiff.
And let's wait it.
All right, thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. All right, we are back on the record in this matter. Ms. Ballard is still on the stand with direct examination. Ms. Rawlings conducting that examination. Before we start again, I just want to advise the jurors there was a defense raised by, or an objection raised by the defense prior to the break. We've resolved that issue, and I wanted to just remind the jurors, you may or may not remember, on the first day of trial you were given a bunch of instructions, and you'll still be getting those later. Among those instructions is an instruction that states specifically, and I'll quote, "At times during the trial, an objection may be made to a question asked a witness or to a witness's answer or to an exhibit. This simply means I'm being asked to decide a particular rule of law. Arguments on the admissibility of evidence are designed to aid the court and are not to be considered by you nor affect your deliberations." So please keep that in mind as it relates to that objection, and I would ask you to disregard it, as it does not relate directly to what you will consider as evidence in your deliberations. So with that in mind then, Ms. Rawlings, if you'd like to continue with your direct, you can do that.
Thank you, Your Honor. Taylor, do you remember we were discussing, I believe, a phone call that you had with Chad in December 2019?
Yes.
And what can you tell us about that conversation?
He called me because he wanted to make sure to pay his premium for January, and I had told him that I never heard back from him from the email that I sent him with the quotes, and so we briefly went over those options, and he picked a plan and paid for his premium.
During this conversation, did you discuss coverage for anyone other than him at that December call?
Only his son, Mark.
Okay. And did you hear from Chad Daybell again later?
Yes.
When did you hear from him?
I believe it was March 11th, 2020. He came into my office.
What did he want when he came to see you on March 11th?
His original inquiry was to obtain health coverage for his new wife.
Okay. And can you tell us about that conversation?
He told me that he'd gotten married and wanted to get coverage on his new wife. And I asked him when they got married, and he told me that it was November 5th, 2019. And I told him that we were outside of the 60-day window, so that wouldn't be possible. And okay.
Did you discuss what other qualifying events there might be?
Yeah, he told me that she was incarcerated and he was really worried about something happening to her, but that she was supposed to be getting out the following week. And so I said that that's a qualifying event.
Okay. Did you discuss other qualifying events?
Yeah, we talked about moving back to moving into a state is a qualifying event, or losing coverage elsewhere.
Okay. And when you talked about moving into another state, did you discuss with him where he and his wife had been previously?
Yeah, he told me that they were living in Hawaii and that they had just come back to Idaho.
Okay. Did he ask about coverage for his wife, including dental insurance?
Yes.
And he asked about coverage for his son, Mark?
Yes.
Did he talk about anything else relating to the background of his wife, what her needs would be?
No.
Okay. So let me just break this down a little bit. He talked to you in November about possibly getting married again, right?
Yes.
At that time, he did not ask for coverage for anyone else, though.
Correct.
Okay. Did he tell you back in November anything about this potential new wife?
Yes.
What did he tell you?
He told me that she lives in Kauai, and so that they would live there half the year and in Idaho for half the year. He told me that she was a widow and she lived off her husband's Social Security death benefits.
Okay. And so fast forward to March, the March visit, when he was trying to get the insurance, did you ask him if you could double check some information?
Yes.
Okay. Did you notice anything else about Mr. Daybell between your visit with him in November and your visit with him in March?
Physically, I just thought he looked thinner and tanner, which made sense if he'd been in Hawaii.
Okay. Did he tell you who his new wife was?
Yes.
What did he say?
He wrote on a sticky note, Lori Ryan Daybell.
And did he indicate whether there was coverage needed for anyone else?
No.
Did he state whether or not she had any kids?
No.
No, he didn't state it, or...
I went through the application process like I would with anybody, just verifying, is this your phone number, is this your address, etc. And one of the questions is, are there any children? And when I asked that, he said no.
Okay. If I may have just one moment, Your Honor.
Yes.
I don't have any other questions at this time.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Rawlings. Mr. Thomas Cross.
Thank you. Yes. Morning, Ms. Ballard. You had filled out some information for Chad to present to the Department of Health and Welfare. Is that correct?
Yes.
And some of that information, I think you said, was had to do with his income because he may qualify for Medicaid?
Correct.
Okay. And what was his income?
I don't remember. This is a long time ago, but I think at the time he had said that his income without his wife's would be around $20,000.
Okay. I went through your notes, and would it refresh your recollection if you went through your notes and looked at that particular...
Definitely.
Okay. Can we give that to her?
And again, I'll just advise the witness that if you're using those to refresh your recollection, don't just read from the notes, but look at them and then close the file once you've done that.
Yes, sir.
And just to kind of speed things along, there's an actual piece of paper that's from Health and Welfare that's attached to those notes or inside those that packet.
So Chad told me that they wouldn't have any income, and then Health and Welfare System interfaced
$30,000?
Yes.
That was his income for the year?
That's what he was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. I'll have the, well, let's see if there's any redirect, Ms. Rawlings.
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Without any redirect, then, can this witness be excused?
Yes, we would ask that she be released.
No objection.
Okay. You can be excused. Make sure to take your file with you. State can call its next witness.
State will be calling Angela Yancey.
Before we get started with testimony, let me just inquire of the witness, Ms. Yancey. Have you reviewed or listened to or read or in any way seen any of the trial testimony in this matter since the trial started?
No.
Okay. As you testify, please talk right into that microphone so your voice is picked up clearly. Please make verbal responses to questions being asked and try to avoid speaking at the same time as anyone questioning you. With that in mind, Ms. Rawlings, you can inquire.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you please state your name and spell it for the record?
Angela Yancey, A-N-G-E-L-A-Y-A-N-C-E-Y.
Angela, where were you employed in 2019?
Sugar Salem School District.
How long did you work there?
7 years.
What was your job title?
I was the payroll and benefit administrator.
And what were some of your job duties with regard to that position?
I processed payroll for all of the employees, and I assisted with all of their benefit administrations.
Was it part of your job to process employees' insurance applications?
Yes.
And this would have included life insurance?
Correct.
Are you familiar with Tamara or Tammy Daybell?
I am.
Do you know if she worked for the Sugar-Salem School District?
Yes, she did.
What was her job?
She was the elementary librarian.
And I think you mentioned you processed benefits for employees. As part of that, did you run benefit meetings for the school employees?
Yes. Every year during open enrollment, we would go to each building and hold meetings that informed them of any changes to their benefits, and we brought forms if they were to make any changes.
So you informed them of any changes. Would you also discuss open enrollment periods, life insurance changes, that type of thing?
Yes.
And when would the open enrollment period be for the school district?
It started in August, excuse me, and they had until the middle, about the 12th to the 15th of September, to get the applications back to us to be effective as of 9/1.
And what types of forms did you provide to the employees of these meetings?
Change forms for their medical, dental, vision, life.
And do you recall if Tammy Daybell made a change to her life insurance policy in 2019?
She did.
Do you know if she submitted an application for that change?
Yes, she did.
Did you process that?
I did.
If I were to show you a document purported to be part of that, or the application or part of that, would you be able to recognize it?
Yes.
And, Your Honor, I will be asking to have State's Exhibits 151, 152, and 153. These have already been admitted, but I'd like to publish them for the jury so that the witness can reference them.
Okay.
And, Your Honor, may I have permission to publish so the witness may reference?
You may.
I think it's more like the easiest to read that way.
Yes.
Do you recognize what's been marked as State's Exhibit 151?
I do.
What is that document?
This is a change form to her voluntary life insurance.
And do you know, when you say change form, is that a different application than had been previously made?
Yes. When she was originally hired, they... when I present the life insurance, voluntary life insurance to them, they can elect a minimum of $10,000. And so that would have been her original form. And then the way the benefits worked is any time after that during open enrollment, you can increase it.
Okay. So this was a request to increase. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when she was hired?
I believe in 2017.
Okay. And do you know what the amount of life insurance was on that 2017 application?
She elected the minimum of $10,000.
And in 2018, did she make any changes or request any changes?
She did not.
So then in 2019, on this document, she requested to increase the policy?
Correct.
And did you process that paperwork?
I did.
Who signed that request for the increase in benefits on her application or the change form?
Tammy did. And because she elected spouse coverage, her spouse also signed it.
Okay. And would that be on a different page than this first page?
Yes.
And when was this form signed and dated?
September 8th. 2019.
And then the form would have to be turned into your office, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. What date would the increase in the life insurance have gone into effect?
9/1.
Okay. And so what was the total amount of the life insurance policy for Tammy Daydell once this change went into effect?
So she elected the max, which was 5 times her salary at the time, so it was $80,000. And then she also had a $50,000 from the group life.
Okay. And were you involved in or did you assist in a claim being submitted with regard to collecting on her life insurance policy?
I was.
I'm going to show you what's been marked and admitted as State's Exhibit 152.
If I may, Your Honor.
You may.
And do you recognize that document?
I do.
What is the title of that form?
It's a beneficiary statement.
Who submitted the beneficiary statement form?
Her husband, Chad.
And did you meet with Chad Daybill when he provided that form? Or provide him with that form, excuse me?
I did.
Do you recall when you first met with him?
He came into my office Monday morning after Tammy had died. So she passed away between Saturday and Sunday, and he was there Monday morning.
And I want to back up a little bit. You had said you worked in HR for the Sugar-Salem District since 2013. Is that right?
Correct.
Where did you work before that?
Madison School District.
And were you responsible for helping employees of both school districts process life insurance claims?
I was.
How many times would you say you have assisted with processing life insurance claims?
I'd say roughly 15 or so.
And so you said that Chad came in on October 21st, which was the Monday after Tammy had passed away. Mm-hmm. And in your experience, was it unusual for a spouse to come in that soon to process a life insurance claim?
In my experience, yes.
What conversation did you have with Mr. Daybill when you provided him with the form on October 21st, 2019?
I explained to him that we could not submit a life claim until we had the original death certificate to go with it. And he said, that's okay, I've already ordered 8 of them.
And in your experience, how many death certificates do most people order?
When they share that information with me, I've heard maybe 3 at the most.
And do you know when Chad returned to submit this beneficiary statement?
He returned on October 25th. I was out of town, and so my coworker told him that he would need to come back on the 30th when I was back in town, and he was there on the 30th.
And who fills out the information that's contained on that beneficiary statement form?
Chad did.
So the information regarding attending physician and such is filled out by the spouse typically?
Correct.
And drawing your attention to the notation that she died in her sleep, would that have been filled out by Chad Daydell before bringing the form back to your office?
Yes, it was.
Now I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 153. And do you recognize this?
I do.
What is the title of this form?
It's the employer's and or administrator statement.
And who fills out that form?
I did.
And so you recognize this as the form that you filled out?
Yes.
What did you do after Chad had brought in the beneficiary statement?
I completed this statement and then attached the death certificate and submitted it to the life insurance claim or company.
And so when would you have filled out the form?
I did it that day that he brought it, the 30th.
Brought in the death certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we talked about the increase in life insurance that Tammy had requested in September. What's the amount of life insurance on this form, if you can see it?
It says $50,000 for the basic, which is the group life, and it says $10,000 for the voluntary. Her change form had not been filed in her file yet, and I used the information from her file.
So you didn't have the change or the updated or the increased information?
Correct. But it had already been submitted to the insurance company, so they had the correct information.
And so what was the correct amount?
$80,000.
And so what was the total amount that would have been paid out for this life insurance claim?
$130,000.
And do you know if that's the maximum amount that could have been requested for an employee in Tammy's position?
Yes.
I don't have any other questions, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Rawlings. Cross-examination.
Thank you, Your Honor. So there were a few different life insurance policies on Tammy, is that right?
With our school district, there was only two.
Okay. One of them was the group insurance, right?
Correct.
All right. And that's offered through the school district as a free bonus for every employee of the school district, correct?
Every eligible employee, yes.
Right. An eligible employee is somebody who works full-time.
Correct.
All right. So if you're a full-time employee, you don't really have to fill out anything. It's just part of your package, your benefits package.
Correct. There's not an enrollment form. We just require a beneficiary form.
Okay. And in this particular case, the beneficiary was Chad Daybell.
Correct.
And she indicated that Chad Daybell would be the beneficiary.
Yes.
And he didn't come in with her to fill out that beneficiary form to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay. So the $50,000 was offered to every employee. So now we're going to the $80,000. The first year when she enrolled was a $10,000 enrollment, the bare minimum you can get, right?
Correct.
And I believe, if I'm correct, I'm probably not, it was somewhere around $1.93. Was that a paycheck or a month?
Well, the school district pays monthly. So
okay.
It'd be the same.
So it'd be $1.93 a month?
Correct.
For the $10,000 life insurance?
Correct.
All right. And then I believe the $75,000 one had something around $15 a month. Is that right?
I don't know the exact amounts. It's done by age. So whatever her age was at the time is what it is. But
On the form that I guess we can bring up let's bring up the last two exhibits, State Exhibit 153 and 152. I'm sorry, I'm gonna have you look at 151. Can you read that okay?
I can, yes.
All right. So we were just talking a little bit about the $10,000 one, and it is what, $1.98 a month? Is that right?
Yeah. It's a little blurred, but that looks right.
Okay. And then the $75,000 one would be how much?
$1,479.
Or is that 70? You're right. My bad. $1,470. And then $80,000 would be a little more than the $75,000, right?
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in your work, that this is part of your work, is it often? What is your experience with how much people normally get? Do they normally get the maximum?
It all depends on the individual and what's going on in their life. We just explained that if they initially elect the $10,000, then any time in the future they can elect up to their five times their salary. And so it just depends on the individual.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that open enrollment is only one time a year?
Correct.
And it's about a 30-day period?
Correct.
And in this particular date, it was when, August to September, or when was it, do you remember?
For a school district, yes. We started in August when they come in, employees come back to work, and then they have until about the 15th. It's a grace period in September, but it's still effective 9/1.
Okay. So this was within the grace period?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Can you redirect?
I don't have anything, Your Honor.
All right. Can the witness be excused?
Yes, we would ask that she be released.
No objection.
Okay. That'll conclude your testimony. Thank you for appearing. The bailiff will assist you leaving the courtroom. State can call its next witness.
The state will be calling Colin Nesbitt. Ms. Smith will be questioning him.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, before we commence with testimony, let me just inquire of the witness, officer, have you reviewed in any way any of the trial testimony in this case, including reading it or hearing it from any source?
No, sir, I have not.
Okay. As you testify, please talk directly into that microphone, use verbal responses to any questions asked, and please avoid talking at the same time as anyone questioning you so we keep a clear record. With that in mind, Ms. Smith, you can inquire on direct.
Thank you, Judge. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you introduce yourself to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury and spell your last name for them, please?
My name's Colin Nesbitt, and it's spelled N-E-S-B-I-T-T.
Sir, how are you employed?
I'm employed with the County of Kauai Police Department in Hawaii.
How long have you been a police department in Kauai, Hawaii?
16 years.
Okay. What is your current position?
I'm a detective with the Major Crimes Section.
And how long have you been a detective in the Major Crimes Section?
4 years.
And prior to that, what was your role?
Prior to that, I was a detective in the Property Crimes Section. For 2 years, and then I was in narcotics section for a year and a half.
Okay. And what sort of training have you had as a police officer in Kauai?
I've had the basic academy training. That's approximately 5 months long. And then I've had additional training, approximately about 400 hours. Approximately 200 of that would have been in major crimes, such as sex assaults, homicides, death investigations, and robberies.
Okay. And so in your role as a major crimes detective, did you have occasion to work and have contact with Lori Vallow?
Yes, I did.
What was your contact with Lori? What was your first contact with Lori Vallow?
My first contact with Lori Vallow was January 25th, 2020.
What caused you to come in contact with Lori Vallow in January of 2020?
I was assisting members from the Rexburg Police Department to serve a legal document.
Okay. And how was it that you came to be a part of assisting Rexburg, Idaho police officers in serving legal documents on Lori Vallow?
Oh, well, they all flew over to Kauai for whatever their investigation was into the matter. And then we had an operational briefing, and they asked for assistance to help locate and serve that document.
Okay. And was Lori Vallow, and there's water there if you need it.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
I'm assuming, given your answer, that Lori Vallow was located?
Yes, ma'am.
Where was she located?
She was located at the address of 4141 Queen Emma Drive in Princeville, which is a condo complex, and she was in the swimming pool area.
Okay. Who was with her?
Chad Dabo.
Okay. And who went up to serve her those legal papers?
Detective Catalina served those the papers.
Okay. Who was present from law enforcement when Detective Catalina served those papers?
Also with Detective Cataluna was Lieutenant Christopher Collio and myself.
Okay. Were you with the detective and the lieutenant the entire time that they went in to serve the papers on Lori Vallow?
Yes, ma'am, I was.
Was that service recorded in any way?
Yes, it was.
How was the service of papers on Lori Vallow from Idaho, those papers from Idaho, how was that service completed?
She was provided a copy, and then she was asked if she had any questions.
Okay. And after that happened, was there was that recording captured and saved?
Yes, ma'am, it was.
And were you the person responsible for making a copy and saving the recording of the service on Lori Vallow in Hawaii?
Yes, I was.
Okay. And did you make a copy and turn it over to anyone?
Yes, I did.
Who did you turn it over to?
The Rexburg Police Department.
Okay. And prior to coming to court today, did you make another copy for use in trial of that recording of service of papers on Lori Vallow?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
Okay. And did you put it on a thumb drive and mark it with your initials?
Yes, ma'am.
Your Honor, I'd ask the court be that the court hand Officer Nesbitt State's Exhibit 205.
You may be.
Thank you. And I apologize. I think I called you officer. It's detective, right?
Either one is fine.
Okay. Detective, do you recognize State's Exhibit 205?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what is it?
It's a thumb drive that I saved a copy of the recording on.
Okay. And did you prepare that thumb drive?
Yes, I did.
Is it, other than the recording of the service of paper on Lori Vallow in January of 2020, is there anything else on that thumb drive?
No, there isn't.
Okay, so the only thing on there, just to be clear for the court, is the recording of Lori Vallow being served with Idaho papers.
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah, and I move for the admission of State's Exhibit 205.
Any objection?
No.
Okay. I request permission for the admission if I miss that, and then I request permission to play it for the jury.
It's admitted without objection, and it may be published.
Thank you, Judge. Your Honor, it appears the court system isn't connecting with the laptop. We'll try a different laptop, and then we'll do it again if you don't mind, because it's not displaying what it should be displaying from the laptop.
Okay.
Let's try another laptop. I'll get mine. Step ahead. Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. Now, sir, those papers, were they part of an investigation into missing children?
Yes, ma'am.
And there were orders on the defendant to produce J.J. Vallow?
Yes.
Okay. And that was the service we just saw?
Yes, ma'am.
Of an order on Lori Vallow to produce J.J. Vallow?
Correct.
What date was that again? I apologize. I'm not sure I got the specific date.
It was served on January 25th, 2020.
Did you have any additional connection with the investigation into finding J.J. Vallow and or questioning Lori Vallow?
Yes, I did.
What was your next involvement?
My next involvement is I was assigned to execute search warrant.
Okay. And search warrant on what?
On the person of Lori Vallow, the person of Chad Daybell, a vehicle, and the condo.
Okay. And what date did you, were you part of a search warrant team?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you weren't by yourself?
No, ma'am.
What date did you guys execute the search warrant involving Lori Vallow in Hawaii?
On January 26th.
The next day?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And so when you went to execute that search warrant, where were they found?
They were found driving a vehicle southbound from Princeville. Okay. Towards Lihue, which is about a 30-minute drive, and they were going to Kauai Beach Resort.
Okay. And how was it law enforcement came into contact with Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell?
As far as, like, the traffic stop?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. There was a traffic stop initiated at Kauai Beach Resort.
Okay. And so at the traffic stop, who was driving the car?
Lori Vallow.
And who else was in the car?
Chad Daybell.
Okay. At the traffic stop, was anybody, taken out of the car?
Yes.
Okay. Who was taken out of the car?
Both occupants, Lori and Chad.
Okay. At any point, was Ms. Vallow given an opportunity to receive her personal paperwork or her personal items?
Yes, she was.
Okay. Can you tell us about how that happened?
So we provided her with a copy of the search warrant, and then we allowed her to take some items that she might need, such as her cash or if she had any medication or anything like that.
When you say we, who's we?
Myself, Detective Cataluna, and Lieutenant Collio, and there was some other people there.
Okay. So when you allowed the Lori Vallow to obtain some of her personal paperwork, where did you guys go to, where did you locate that paperwork?
At her vehicle.
Okay. Was she present?
Yes, she was.
Okay. What paperwork or items was she trying to have you give her?
Well, we were just going to give her back her cash from her purse and give her back some items that she might, I think she had some medication in there, and then because we had the search warrant, we looked through a purse, and then we put it back in the car.
Okay. So as you're looking through her purse, did you find any credit cards or any information?
Yes.
What information or credit cards did you find?
So Detective Cataluna was looking through her credit cards and counting her money, and when he was looking through the credit cards, he handed them to me to put inside a plastic bag to give back to Lori whatever he didn't need for the investigation. And then when he passed them to me, I looked through them again, and I saw one with the name. I saw a credit card with the name of Tylee Ryan.
Okay. So when you found the items with the credit cards and the card with Tylee Ryan's name, did that stick out to you?
Well, yes, it did.
Okay, why?
Because she was part of the missing children that we were helping them look for.
Okay. So what did you do with the card that was in Tylee Ryan's name?
That was held back, and then I put it back in the car.
Okay. When you say held back from the stuff that the defendant was going to be allowed to take herself?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And you put it in the car. Where did you put it in the car?
On the front seat.
Okay. And then was the car itself searched after the defendant was given some personal effects?
Yes, ma'am, it was.
Okay. And was that search documented in any way?
Yes, it was.
Okay. How was it documented?
It's documented. We execute the search warrant, and then we recover whatever evidence that we need for our investigation. We bag it and tag it, put the report number, and there's a property number that goes on there, and then I sign my initials on there.
Okay. And does anybody take any effort to take photographs of that process?
Yes.
Okay. And were photographs taken of the search of Lori Vallow's car in Hawaii on January 26, 2020?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And have you had an opportunity to look at those photographs?
I have.
Okay. Let me hand you what has been marked State's Exhibit 234Z. I apologize, 234A through Z, a copy of which has been provided to the court as a courtesy, and a courtesy copy has been given to defense counsel before today.
Can I clarify one thing?
One moment. We'll do that in just a second. Okay.
And in the A through Z, are there any missing letters in there, Ms. Smith, just to clarify? I didn't look yet. I'm just...
I don't believe so, Judge, but... Okay. Sadly, crazier things have happened. Okay, good. I believe all of them are there, Judge. I did double check.
That wraps up segment number two in our continuous coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. There is more to come. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of it. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell
from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.